New York City isn't usually mentioned as one of the world's top surfing destinations, but Rockaway Beach, not far from Manhattan, spans over 6 miles and is home to a diverse surf scene. Stephen Nesson reports on the growing number of African Americans who are hanging ten within view of the Manhattan skyline.
Lounging in a beach chair, with his feet firmly planted in the sand, soaking in the sun on a hot Saturday, is BJ.
My name is Brian BJ James, also known as the Nautical Negro.
He's been surfing at Rockaway Beach since 1997. He's even written a book about his experiences on the water.
It was tough in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? A lot of racial epithets hurled out in the water, a lot of arguing. But me personally, I just let them know I wasn't going for it. And if they wanted to have any problem, we could settle up on the beach.
But like any sport, if you do it well, you earn respect.
People, you know, they might look at you at first that I'm a black surfer, but then it's just a matter of can you surf. Surfers, for the most part, don't care what you are as long as you're not going to be in the way.
BJ's a far cry from the commercial image of the shaggy-haired bronze beach bum. The stocky, bald 48-year-old from Westchester is one of the recent pioneers of a growing black surf scene. While black surfers remain a relative rarity in America, that's not the case around the world, according to Scott Hewlett, editor of Surfer's Journal.
Papua New Guinea, the Caribbean, which would include, in specific, Barbados, Jamaica, British Virgin Islands, those are black surfers through and through and highly accomplished ones.
Hewlett says people in Ghana, Senegal, and Angola have been riding waves on their stomachs for centuries.
So yes, the vibrant global black surf culture is historic and thriving. Here in America, it's still a very minute part of our overall constituency.
Surfing became popular in California in the 1900s, but it wasn't until the 1940s that a black surfer named Nick Gabaldon broke the race barrier by surfing at the predominantly white beaches in Malibu.
He is the first documented black and Mexican surfer.
Jeff Williams is the co-president of the Black Surfers Collective based in Los Angeles.
So Nick Gabaldon used to enter the water at the Inkwell, which is at Bay Street in Santa Monica, paddle 12 miles north in a prone position, paddling a surfboard up and surf the waves of Malibu in the late 40s and early 50s.
Gabaldon died at 24, trying to shoot the pier or surf between wood pilings in the water. Yet he's still an inspiration to young black surfers, like Jeff Williams. He says when he started surfing in Los Angeles 18 years ago, there were only about 6 black surfers. Now, he says, there are at least 500 in the area, and he meets a new black surfer every day. Back in New York, at Borders Surf Shop, I ran into Frank Cullen. He's the head of the New York Surf School here. He says many of the new black surfers in the Rockaways are coming from gentrified parts of Brooklyn.
A lot of it has to do with demographics, and it seems to be more of a middle-class type of thing. So, and as, you know, if you're looking like Williamsburg and Greenpoint, and as, you know, a lot of, you know, African-Americans are just coming out and doing their thing.
Over on the beach, surfer BJ says, unlike other sports that have long broken the race barrier, surfing remains out of reach for many black youth. He says his parents taught him to swim at a young age.
It'd be good to give young brothers and sisters the opportunity. You know, that's one of the only things that separates us from our peers a lot of times is the opportunity. When people like Tiger Woods and the Williams sisters, their parents gave them the opportunity.
Sauntering down the beach with the top half of his wetsuit hanging off his body is Lou Harris.
See last Saturday? I got a seven off. Goodness gracious.
Really?
I almost threw up, yo. Yeah.
He came to the Rockaways 7 years ago and says BJ inspired him to try surfing.
We came out here and I seen people surfing out here. I was like, wow, people surfing? And then I saw BJ. I was like, wow, black guy surfing? And they were all crowding around him like he was freaking Mick Jagger or something.
The 41-year-old personal trainer from Long Island has lived here ever since. Unlike BJ's earlier encounters with racism, Harris says when he walks with a surfboard, it's black people who confront him now.
The white people never say anything stupid to you. They're always like, how are the waves? Good waves. And there's the black people that say, black people don't surf, right?
Yeah.
What you doing with a surfboard, man? The black people don't surf. I'm like, dude, I've been swimming for 35 years, surfing for 7. Are you kidding? Skateboard for 17.
Harris's goal is to change those stereotypes one kid at a time. He teaches surfing on the weekends.
You get like a lot of these black kids who never surfed before, who get on the board and they just rip like that. And know for the kids, that's my mission this summer, is to get like a lot of African-American kids, a lot of Puerto Rican kids who think, oh, that's a white sport. It's not a white sport.
While the Rockaways are no Santa Cruz, for many New Yorkers, it's the closest surf beach. And with more than 35% of the Rockaway residents being non-white, that's a lot of untapped talent. For Only a Game, I'm Stephen Nesson in New York.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Zoe Sobel. We had help this week from Martin Kessler and from WBEZ in Chicago. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view photos of the surfers at Rockaway Beach or listen to anything you might have missed, visit onlyagame.org. Our final word this week comes from CBS Sports national columnist Greg Doyle, who made his way through this week's conversation without the benefit of advanced preparation.
Oh, that's what I'm best at, because Lord knows if I start thinking, I'm in trouble.
It's sports, Greg. You fit right in. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at MelvilleTrust.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at Hewlett.org. This is NPR.